In this video, I'm sharing three things I learned from the book Rework by Jason Fried and David Hansen. Rework is the playbook that they use to build up their company 37 Signals, known predominantly for their software Basecamp. Now, this book contains a lot of lessons for building up your company, launching your product, all these different things. And the first lesson that I learned was to embrace constraints. Now, this sounds counterintuitive sometimes. Whenever we're working on a project, constraints are kind of the last thing that we want to think about. We want to be able to work without any interruption, without any limitations placed on our creativity and what we're able to do. But constraints help to actually drive creative results. And he gives an example of a haiku. A haiku is, you know, by definition, is limited to the number of lines, 3 lines, 5 syllables, 7 syllables, 5 syllables in each line. And that forces you to be creative with the way that you know, the message that you're conveying, the words that you use. All of these things have to go through a process to be able to fit within that constraint. Contrast that with writing a poem that has no constraints on length, on rhyme scheme, on the number of verses, on any of those things is actually a lot harder to get started. The constraints, having those limitations, it forces you to be creative with the situation that with what you have. So it's basically make do with what you have instead of worrying about what you don't have. He gives another really good example, and that's of Southwest Airlines. They said that one constraint that they embraced was that their entire fleet uses the same model of airplane. What that does is that it actually gives them flexibility, because now all of their pilots and all of their staff can be interchangeable between any flight in their entire company. Another way of understanding constraints is focusing on the epicenter of what you do. And they give a really good example. If you're opening a hot dog stand, what do you start working on? You can work on business cards, you can work on flyers, you can work on figuring out what kind of cart you have, how much inventory to load up on, what your logo is going to look like, what you're going to call your cart, you know, where you're going to be located. There's 100 million things that you could be going through. But if your hot dog doesn't taste good, all of those other decisions were completely irrelevant. They didn't help to support the core of what you do. You should have put your focus on making sure that first the hot dog tastes good, that it's well made, and then the other things can come. A lot of times, because we're not constrained, we run wild with all these different things. We put focus where it shouldn't be put. One other part of embracing constraints is that of embracing obscurity. And this is something that we talked a little bit about when I shared three things I learned from Little Bets by Peter Sims. And I'll put the link to that video in the description down below. One thing they mentioned was that when you're obscure, when there aren't a lot of expectations on you, and you aren't tied down to something, you can experiment much more freely. Obscurity is not something that anybody wants, especially not a business. They want attention, they want customers, they want eyeballs. But as long as you don't have them and you're building toward it, embrace that constraint of not being known to do things you otherwise wouldn't do. Again, it helps drive a lot of creativity. The second thing that I learned was to emulate chefs. Now, if you look at a celebrity chef or a famous chef, what do? They publish all of their recipes online or in a book that can be easily bought. They have YouTube videos showing how to cook their recipes. They have TV shows showing you how to make their dishes, the things that they're the most well known for, their most prized intellectual property, so to speak. But they put all of it out there. And the thing is that they realize that even if you have the recipe, even if you have the same tools and all the same ingredients, it doesn't mean that you'll suddenly become a better chef than they are. And that's the abundance mindset. They're not afraid of someone stealing their ideas or someone having the knowledge that they have and now suddenly displacing them. It's an abundance mindset that I can share everything I have. I can put everything that I have out there, and it doesn't diminish my ability in any sense. In fact, it probably enhances my reputation a lot when I share those things. So emulate chefs, share what you have. Don't be afraid of what you might lose, but embrace that abundance mindset. And this also goes along with embracing obscurity. Don't be afraid to share what you're working on, even if it's imperfect. It's that imperfection that gives your work character, and it lets people know this is not just robotic. There's a human behind it, and it helps to establish a connection. The third thing that I learned from this book was that culture develops over time. It's not just simply instilled. And what that means is that we think that culture sometimes is you have a company and you just put in a foosball table or a pool table or some bean bags and have a holiday party, and suddenly we've got a culture. Culture comes from behavior that's repeated over time. It's something that's cultivated over and over again. So for example, if you want a trusting environment, you have to reward that behavior of trust. If you want open communication, you have to not only openly communicate over and over and over again, but you have to reward people that openly communicate. And when you do that, you start to establish a culture of how your company operates. If you want good customer service, you have to repeat that behavior of good service over and over and over again until it becomes ingrained in the way that you operate. One mistake that people make when they're looking to establish good culture is that they want to go and hire only rock stars or only the super awesome people that they can find. Now, that sounds like a good strategy, but the reality is that you're not going to be able to do that. People in organizations are varying degrees, varying strengths, and not everyone is going to always be at that level. So instead, what they say is that you have to make sure that the people that you have, you unlock their potential to do good work. How do you do that? You remove bureaucracy, you remove the red tape, and you don't treat employees like children. If you treat them like children, you'll get those types of results. But instead, empower people to do their best work, because most people genuinely want to put forth their best effort. They want to do the best work possible. Eliminate the barriers that keep them from doing that. Once you do that and you repeat good behaviors, your company will have a good culture. That's three things I learned from the book Rework. If you enjoyed this video, please make sure you hit the like button below. Subscribe to the channel. We put out a new video every week. And I've got links to the related videos and the book in the description down below. Thanks for watching.